Psalm 103. Go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures there. We're going to continue our series, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Last week, we just did a message called Prepare to Praise, and that's because we see the psalmist in the first five verses preparing his heart and his mind to praise, because let's be honest, you and I don't always feel like worshiping. Our mind and our emotions are not always they need to be. Our body might need to be where it needs to be, right? We might be in the right space, but we might not be in the right place when it comes to our mind or our emotions. And so we know we are wired to worship. And so we start worshiping the wrong thing and we stop worshiping the God who has created us and the only one who deserves our worship. And so that's what's happening with King David as he's writing this psalm of pure praise, that it's praise from beginning to end, all 22 verses, and he is just writing it out. So the flow of thought here in this passage, so you know, the first five verses are this individual praise of just reminding himself individually, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. But when we get to verse 6, there's a switch because it becomes kind of more of a collective cry. It becomes more of a collective worship as it turns from just David and his soul, or the individual worshiper and their soul, to collective, the people of Israel, the community, the nation of Israel, and now obviously for us, collectively as the church. And so today we're going to be covering verses 6 through 13 in Psalm 103. And our final verse that we'll cover says that God, as he explains, as he looks back and he explains all the verses that he's talked about prior, says that our God is a compassionate and loving Father. And this is the word picture that he gives us. And that, as you can imagine, as the people of Israel are gathered together at the temple and they are singing this song together to the tops of their lungs, they are worshiping this mutual Father that they have together, this Yahweh God that has created them, this Elohim God who has made all that is. And they're saying, this is Father, and he is so good, and he deserves our worship. And let's be reminded of that. And so they would be there with, sure, their own families, their own mothers and fathers, children, singing, worshiping. And around them, they would see parents, moms and dads who were imperfect. And if you're a mom or a dad, you know that all the dreams that you had about how good of a parent you were going to be when you had those kids, how awesome that was going to be. I remember back when I was in my early 20s, didn't have any kids yet, and I was at a local church, and the guy that was going to be preaching that Sunday wound up having some heart problems. So at the last minute, they called and said, hey, brother, would you mind filling the pulpit this Sunday for Pastor so-and-so? And I said, sure. What's he preaching on? Parenting. I'm like, well, it's great. Well, I guess I'll do it because I don't have any kids yet. And there was a lady and her family that lived in the neighborhood, and she came driving by one day, and I was out in the road raking some leaves or something. And she's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, well, I'm preaching on parenting this Sunday. I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous about it. And she's like, don't be. Now's the time for you to do it. When you know everything about parenting, now's the time for you to give a message, because once you have children, you'll realize you know nothing about parenting. And you'll be learning all over again. And so let's be honest that all of us either are imperfect parents, or we've certainly had imperfect parents. And yet collectively, we can all sing out together that we have a good, good Father who loves us, who doesn't have any imperfections, who didn't do all of those things that have wounded us. Because one thing that we're talking about today as we consider these verses is that our parents messed us up, right? I mean, and sometimes we harp on that a little bit more than we should, but I know when I was a kid growing up, man, I gave my parents a hard time. I feel guilty about that every day. I mean, I used to complain about the things we didn't have and what we didn't do, and I really honestly, looking back, realized I had some of the best parents in the entire world. I should get on my knees every day and thank God for my mom and dad. But as an immature kid, I didn't always appreciate that. But the truth is that your parents can help shape your view of God. And sometimes we have those emotions or those thoughts about our earthly parents, and they get conflated or projected onto God. And so if you had a parent who was just kind of messed up and was living a wicked lifestyle, then you might have a hard time relating to God as being righteous. And if you had a parent who just treated you unfairly and poorly all the time, then you might have a hard time relating to your heavenly Father as one who is just and fair. And if you had a parent who was just so strict on you and never showed you any kind of mercy and only wanted performance out of you, you might have a hard time getting on your knees and worshiping and praising God and lifting hands to a God who is merciful and who forgives. And if your parents never doted on you and never loved you and poured out graciously upon you, you might have a hard time understanding that not only is God merciful and forgives you for what you've done wrong, but that He lavishes His love upon you. And so we have a God that is loving, that's not going anywhere. If your parents got divorced and that hurt you and left you broken, and you might have even, for some reason, taken some of that blame on yourself, it might be hard for you to realize that you serve a God, a Father now, who has a steadfast love. That's a covenant-keeping love that cannot and will not be broken. And that you can rely in that, and that you don't have to be fearful that He's ever going to leave you or forsake you. And so my prayer for us this morning as we gather is that whatever our wound may be, that God the Father, the good Father that we love and worship and praise, would come and He would feel that He would fill that wound and that gap in our lives, in our hearts, and that once and for all He would give that healing that we need to say, hey, I can let that go and I can see God in a way that I should see Him. And you'll see there in these verses, in verses 6 through 13, this really beautiful Hebrew poetry that's back and forth. And I really want you to notice the parallelism that's going on here, this kind of back and forth, because sometimes we can approach God in this flat, one-dimensional kind of worship. And we just can only see God maybe sometimes as just this one thing. Like maybe your view of God is just He's holy. All you can see in your mind is this bright white light on a throne, and every step you take, you're wondering if He's going to strike you down. And that is an incomplete picture of who your loving Father is. And so we want to fill that out and blow up that thing into more of a three-dimensional approach or understanding of who God is. And what that is what the psalmist helps us to do as he goes back and forth with these verses that we'll see in these attributes of God. He just doesn't leave us hanging on one side, but He balances out the other side in His poem, and He helps us to have a fuller picture of who our Father is. And that will make us realize our imperfections and our parents' imperfections, but hopefully it will also help us to see that we can forgive what's been done to us and that our Father can help heal us in that. Psalm 103. I'm going to start in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Here's where we pick up today. The Lord works on one hand righteousness and on the other justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. Here's another one. The Lord is merciful on one hand and gracious on the other, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide or strive or wrangle with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Final verse for today. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord Yahweh shows compassion to those who fear him. And who are those that fear him? They are his family, his children. So we see this back and forth going on, and I want to go back to verse 6 here and get started. And it says, our first point today is that we need to, as people who are praising our loving Father, we need to praise his righteousness and justice, right? And so as you are maybe being reshaped right now in your image of who God is, I want you to embrace this. I'll read it again, verse 6. The Lord works righteousness, these folks are singing together, and justice, don't forget that, for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And so the nation of Israel, as they sing, would have these memories that would come to mind for them because they were familiar with the righteousness and the justice of God. They understood that God, Yahweh, is a righteous God. He is holy and pure and has never done anything wrong. And so he is righteous, and he also acts righteous. He is not only righteous, but everything he does is righteous. And go a step beyond that, and he is a God that demands righteousness from his people. And that is right, and that is good. And so if you're here and you're a parent, you need to understand that as we follow the example of God, that we are called to call our kids to a high standard of living, that we don't let them do just whatever they want, because our Heavenly Father is not a grandfather off somewhere in the corner that's not paying attention to the bad things that his kid is doing. No, he's an involved dad, and he demands righteousness from his children. And so what we don't want to do is assume that we can do whatever we want and that God will never notice and that we have his total forgiveness. So he is a God of righteousness, but then followed right by that, he is a God of justice for all who are oppressed. And we've all been oppressed, right? So we want God to call people to righteousness and holy living so that we don't get hurt. And a lot of times we just want him to do that for other people, right? We want other people to live right so we don't get hurt. But guess what? On the other hand, other people don't live right. And guess what? You will get hurt in this world. You will be betrayed. You may be physically harmed by other people who are not living righteously, who don't care about your well-being and what's going on with you. And you will get hurt. God is a God of justice. And so he demands righteous living. And yet for those who don't live righteously and hurt other people, there is justice. He is a God who is just, and every single person will give an account and will pay for the wrongs that they have done. Many times those repercussions come right in the moment. And those are good, right? When someone harms you or comes against you, and right there in the moment you can see that there's payback for what they have done, that God or the government that he's put in place puts the law in place and makes sure that justice happens. But it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes we may be left feeling some kind of a way, as if God has not noticed that you, his child, were injured. But let me remind you that God knows your pain. God knows that you have been hurt. He knows that what that person did to you, he knows that you have been oppressed, and he will not let it go. And so whether it's here now in this world or whether it's in eternity, everything will be made right by a just, righteous God. That is the Father that we serve. And that gives us reason to pause and to praise him, because he is an amazing Father. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And so Moses would go and meet with God outside of the camp. Are you familiar with this? And he would go to the tent of meeting. And when he did that, you better be paying attention, because God is holy and righteous and not to be trifled with. And so all the Israelites would stand in the door of their tents, I think like this. It's not in the Bible, but it's the picture in my mind. Because he would go over there outside the camp and this cloud would come down on top of this tent. And God would meet with man. And then he would come and talk to the people. And there were times when Moses met with God that his face was gleaming so brightly that he had to cover it so as not to hurt the people that were there in front of him, because God is holy. And so it says here in verse 7 that he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. And they saw that time and time again. They saw his acts of righteousness and justice, right? They were familiar because they were enslaved. They were oppressed in Egypt. That's not right. And it didn't happen on their timetable, but God rescued them and made it right. And he sent Moses to bring his people out. And so he made that situation right. But then Pharaoh, his heart was hardened by God. And guess what? He geared up his army and he chased his people through and into the Red Sea. And then justice was served because God closed the Red Sea and his army was destroyed. And so the people were familiar looking back going, whoa, like this Yahweh God that's moved into action on our behalf, he's taking care of us. He has rescued us. He has brought us out from the oppression that we were under. And the people who would continue to oppress us have been served. They've had justice served upon them. And that's a mighty act of God. So they're familiar with that. What about you? Are you familiar with God's holiness, or do you shy away from that? Are you pushing in to the righteousness of God and embracing that, or is that a character trait of God that you'd rather not praise him for, but you would rather him just smite your enemies, right? I want God to smite those who have hurt me, but I'm going to hold on to my sin and unrighteousness. That doesn't go together. Let the Lord change your heart in that area today. How else can we praise our loving Father? So glad you asked. Let's go to verses 8 and 9. We're going to praise him for his mercy and grace. We're going to praise God for his mercy and for his grace. So mercy speaks to the idea of us not getting what we do deserve. So as Israel would sing the song, they're praising, right? Because this is their history. They're like, you know, is somebody reading my mail? Is somebody looking into my house? Because I'm praising my heavenly Father right now because he is merciful. And they might look over to their earthly father who was in their tribe, who was there at that day at the temple singing, and go, man, my dad was so strict, merciless. And yet I can sing to a God who I've seen in action, who is so merciful, who all the times we've messed up collectively, that he has not just ultimately destroyed us, and he would have been right in doing that, right? Remember the time when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he was getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and he carved these tablets out of stone, and the Lord with his very finger wrote on these tablets front and back and gave him these commandments. And in the meantime, the people down below thought, he's taking a little bit too long. I mean, what's the dude doing up there? It's amazing how quick we forget the righteousness and justice of God. And we take for granted his mercy. So they're like, Aaron, we don't know what he's doing. We haven't seen this God. We've seen the smoke. We've seen the cloud. We've seen the ball of fire. But we haven't seen this God. We need something tangible. And so Aaron says, all right, give me all your gold. Take off your earrings and your necklaces. And he fashioned this calf. And then they begin to worship this golden calf. And up on high, the Lord said, Moses, you better get back to those people, because something's going on that is messed up. And he goes back down. Of course, Moses is furious. He dashes the tablets onto the ground. They're broken. And he begins to deal out justice to these people. And harm comes upon these people. And people begin to die. And God's like, Moses, just let me do it. I'll wipe them out. And Moses is like, Lord, don't forget that these are your people and you have plans for them. Not as if God had actually forgotten, right? And I want you to read when Moses goes back up on to Mount Sinai to get the second set. What does the Lord say about himself in that moment? Well, the Lord passed before him. That's the Lord passed before Moses because Moses had this request that he could see God. And God's like, psh, you can't even handle that. So I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. And when I whisk by, you can glance back and you'll just see the backside of me. And that will be all you'll be able to handle. And the Lord says this, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now Psalm 103, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Almost word for word, the psalmist is reaching back to the Torah and reminding the people of Israel as they sing, that God sees himself this way, and therefore it is true, and we should see him this way as well, that God is merciful in that he did not give the people of Israel in that moment who were faithless, that he did not give them the punishment that they deserved. He did punish them, but he held back and was merciful to them. But they were also familiar, it says, that the Lord is merciful and gracious. And so they knew that not only could God have spared them in that moment and then just left them, and he would have been merciful to do that, but instead he continues to pour his grace out upon his children and to carry them into the promised land and give them and protect them and provide for them on their journey there. And in the same way, we may be living in a life or maybe look back in our history and realize that our parents were either merciless or maybe they were just merciful and just they provided, that was it. But they never celebrated. They were never gracious. They never lavished. They never reminded us of how much, of how special we were. And I'm not trying to have a me-centered approach to life and say, oh, kids, you're the center of the universe. Because ask my kids, they'll tell you, they're not. Right? God is. I'm not either. Ask any of my kids and you say, hey, who's the best dad in the world? God. Which on Father's Day, you know, all my cards, I got cards saved up, right? Dad, you're the second best dad in the whole world. And I'm like, I treasure those cards. Second place behind God the Father, I'll take it. And so we need to teach our children and remind ourselves that this life's not all about you. But do understand that your Heavenly Father is merciful. However bad you think your situation is, it could be a lot worse. You might be saying, it's no fair, I don't get what I deserve in this life. No, it's no fair that you're not getting what you do deserve in this life, because it would be a lot worse than you think. If God were to remove his favor and his presence from it, would be bad for you. So thank God for his mercy, but also thank God for his grace, because he loves his children and he gives us good gifts. Every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. Everything that you've got is a blessing from God. So don't grumble and complain about what you do have. Look around, make a list, write it down, and say, God, thank you for all these wonderful blessings that you have given me. Let's dive into this point a little bit more. The Lord is merciful and gracious, get this, slow to anger, this is the parallel here going on, and abounding in steadfast love. This goes along with the mercy and the grace. So God is merciful, slow to anger, because if he wasn't, smite, and gracious, abounding in steadfast love, right? It's not just like, yeah, God loves you, just enough to keep you alive. No, your Father loves you, and he abounds in this steadfast love. Verse 9 goes along with this thought. He will not always chide. That means he won't always strive or wrangle, or he's not always just going to sit by, and he won't endlessly plead with you to stop your sinning, stop doing what you want all the time, and start obeying me. He's a father that's going to coax you to do the right thing. But he won't always just stop right there. He will move into action in your life for discipline's sake so that you can be where you need to be. But on the flip side, nor will he keep his anger forever. Now, you might have grown up with a mom or a dad who was one way or the other, right? Who was always chiding, nagging, always on your case, never let go. And anything you did wrong, they would always continually bring it up. And they were quick to anger. And they had a temper. And they would lash out. And maybe that's one of the biggest memories that you have of your mom or your dad. But on the other hand, the Bible says that he will not keep his anger forever. So if you had a parent who held grudges and wouldn't let it go, maybe to this day still uses that as a weapon against you, know that God is a healthy God. It's right and good for God to have righteous anger and be upset at his children. But he doesn't hold on to that anger forever, but he lets it go and he makes things right between you and him. That is the healthy approach. So if you never get upset as a Christian, you're probably doing something wrong, because there should be things that you see in your own life or in your family or in the world that bring you to a righteous anger. But those things should not dominate your life and control you, and you're like the Incredible Hulk who has no control, right? You're like Bruce Banner, who just like at a moment's notice is going to flip the lid and hold on to that anger, and then later go, what in the world just happened? Your Father doesn't want that for you. So we praise his righteousness and justice. We praise his mercy and grace. And we praise his steadfast love and forgiveness. Verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, because he's a forgiving God. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And so when we look at this word steadfast love, this comes from the Hebrew word hesed, which refers to God's covenant-keeping love, his loving kindness that will never go away, his loyalty, his mercy, his faithfulness toward his people. And there's really not a word in the English language that matches up to that, that gives a good description of that. And so that's why we got to put two words together in this situation to say, he is a God with steadfast love. That means that God, your Father, loves you. He loved this people, this nation of Israel, when they did not deserve to be loved, when they seemed so unlovable. But he had entered into a covenant with them and made a promise to them that he would always love them, and that he would use them to be a blessing to all people, and that he would give them a land, and all these promises that he made to them. And he is not a God that quickly breaks his promises. He never does. He never has. He never will. He is a God of steadfast love. You might have grown up in a home where you weren't sure if you were loved or not. You might have grown up in a home where the love didn't last and it wasn't steadfast, and mom and dad had to split ways, and that hurt. But the God you serve is a God of steadfast love. He keeps his covenant. Even when humans break their promises to each other, God never breaks his promise to you that he'll never leave you or forsake you. He is a God of steadfast love, and he's a God that forgives the wrongs that you have done against him. He's never done anything wrong against you. It's all one way. But he doesn't hold those against you. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins. You ever had somebody that always only dealt with you according to your wrongdoing, the thing that you did, they would never let it go. And that's how they saw you. The lens that they always saw you through was the worst thing you ever did. And never looked at any of the things that you did right. And sometimes in families, that's how we can slip into a rut of just seeing people in our families, spouses, children, parents, through their worst character trait, instead of seeing all the good things about them. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And so he's not a God of retribution where he's just going to hang on to this and hold it over your head and never forgive you and never let it go. But instead, he is a God that's holy and just and forgiving. That thing you did can't outweigh the love of your father. There's nothing, if you're here and you're a parent, you know that there's nothing that your child could ever do that would ever make you stop loving them, that would make you walk away and say, that's it, I'm done. And sometimes, actually, when your child is in trouble or they're going down the wrong path, your heart's more in tune with who they are and where they're going, and you're more in prayer and more worried and concerned about what they're doing. And so you're more dialed into who they are. And so we have a God that loves and forgives. And then it gives these word pictures, and we'll close with these. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And so we can't really comprehend the love of God. And so he tries to help paint a couple of pictures for us so that we could grasp onto it. And the first one is this kind of spatial illustration to say, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much he loves you. From the dirt that's underneath your feet all the way to billions of light years away. Did you hear on the news that scientists have actually found the end of space? No, that's a lie. Because God's love keeps going, right? As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's just a way of saying that God loves you with an infinite kind of committed love. You are loved by God. Receive that this morning. You are loved by God, and you can't even fathom how much he loves you. In the same way that an infant has no idea, Sadie right now at Roanoke Hospital has no clue that mom and dad love her, and they haven't even met her yet. They have a love that cannot be explained, and that pales in comparison to the kind of love that God has for you. So receive that love and quit blocking it and pushing it away, and trust that God loves you, and let that love come into your life and change you. And receive just the wonder of it. I remember when my daughter Olive here was a little bit younger, maybe before she got her ears pierced at the age of 5, and be putting her to bed at night and would say, Olive, I love you so much. And she would say, Dad, I love you 1,000,000. It doesn't even make sense, but I love it, right? Because in her mind, that was just a way of saying, I don't know how to describe how awesome of a second best dad you are. But I love you 1,000,000. No, 1 gajillion. I'm like, man, thank you. Like, I love that. God loves you 1 gajillion billion more than you can ever imagine. And you need to receive that and praise him for that, even when you can't comprehend that. And it's hard for you to feel lovable. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe your emotion that says you're not lovable, because you are. You are loved by him. Another one, word picture, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Right? So not only does God love you in a way that you can't even fathom, but all of the bad things that you have done, he has separated them as the east is from the west. And that just keeps going on and on and on. He's not the dad who's going to keep bringing up your shortcomings. He's not the dad that's going to keep reminding you, if you're being reminded of sins that you've already been forgiven for, that's not God reminding you of that. That's either yourself or Satan that's reminding you of that. And you need to push that away and rebuke that in Jesus' name and say, I don't receive that anymore. I did that thing, but I've been forgiven of that, and I'm a brand new creation now, and I don't have to carry the weight of that sin anymore. I can let it go. Thing that I did that hurt me and that hurt other people, I am forgiven for that. And what somebody else did for me, also gone. God can take that pain away, that sin that was done to you. You need to receive that as well and say, God, take that away from me and help me to forget that like you forget that and forgive like you forgive. 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. An earthly father knows how to give good gifts, to show compassion to a child. How much more, God is saying, do you think I could show compassion to you? The truth is that your kids will really never know, maybe until they have their own, of how much compassion you show them, of how much you love them, of how dependent they are upon that loving compassion to stay alive and to stay warm and to stay fed. And all the million things that you do behind the scenes that they'll never know about or appreciate, you do those things not so that you can receive their gratitude, but because you have compassionate love for them. And just be reminded today that your Heavenly Father loves you and He is sustaining you. This planet that we are currently inhabiting, guess what? The breath that you just took, that's from God. That's from your Father. He gave you that. That's a compassionate gift from Him. The eyes that you're using right now to see with, those are from God. The ears that you are listening right now with that you wish you didn't have right now in this moment, right? No, God gave those to you. And that's just really scratching the surface to how compassionate God is, that He would give you life and love you and forgive you and show you the right way to live and perform justice on those who harm you and be merciful to you and forgive you for the things you've done wrong and pour out graciously good gifts upon your life and to love you in a committed kind of way where you can be rest assured that He will never leave you or forsake you. That is the Heavenly Father that we serve and the Heavenly Father that we praise. Praise Him this week. Write down those things about your life that you need to be praising for, and you'll see that the list will go on and on and on. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to know you. Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us through your word and by your spirit and through your son, Jesus Christ. And God, we can have a relationship with you. God, for any that are listening right now at the sound of my voice, God, I pray that you would do a miraculous work in them, that you would give them new birth, that you would give them new life, that their sins would be forgiven in this moment as they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and cry out to you and say, God, I know that I don't deserve it, but I want to receive your love right now in this moment and become your child and for you to become my Father. Lord, for those who are here that may not be worshiping you the way that they should and praising you and blessing you with all their soul and everything that is within them, Lord, I pray that today you would be reminding them through your word of how wonderful of a Father you are to them. And Lord, I pray that in a new way that they could receive that compassion and they could sense your presence, and that you would heal all the hurt places in their heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thank you so much for opening up the Word of God with me this morning. It's always a blessing and an honor to be able to do that. And it's always, I see, timely as we travel through passages of God's Word together. It's always a blessing for me to see how He sovereignly works those things out. And so my prayer for you this week as your pastor is just that God will continue to massage that message into your heart, and that you won't just walk away and go, huh, that was interesting, but that it'll be really pressed down in there, and that you'll own it and receive it, and that you'll go to a community group this week where they'll unpack this even more so that you could wrestle with God's word. And so that transformation can happen where it's not just an aha moment, but that you're receiving it and letting the word do its work in your life.